Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Like a heavenly dream. I go to bed
with the prayer that your son make love to me. Strangers at Sea, Jack. Wonderful. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. We're live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Gateway Buick GMC at I-270 and McDonald Boulevard, a loyal sponsor of the studios of the Ryan Kelly Morning After for years. I mean, just for years, Doug. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Yeah, Gateway Buick GMC bringing it to you first. Yet again, did you know they have deliver vehicles online? They deliver vehicles online and deliver right to your home or work. All you have to do is shop, click, drive. You can enjoy shopping for your vehicle and leave the hassle to the experts. Shop now at stlouisbuickgmc.com, I-270 in McDonald Boulevard. But if you want that delivery service, Doug, all you got to do is go to stlouisbuickgmc.com. It's Gateway Buick GMC. Gateway, the right way, the loyal studio sponsors of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I mean, I think 5 years, I think that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, these sponsors, they've been with us for a while. Ryan Kelly, Appliance Discounters.
Right.
Hot Shots.
Sure they have.
Gateway Buick GMC. Yeah.
Well, we like that. That's nice of them.
No, we
like our studio sponsored.
Hey, Larry Nichols on the line.
Oh.
And he has his WWE recap. Go ahead, Plowhawk.
Hit the lever, Plowzine. Go ahead and hit the lever, Plowzine, please.
There it is.
This is WWE superstar Daniel Bryan. It's now time for your WWE wrestling recap with our
590 The Fan.
Can we fix that edit?
What? There's no edit.
Brought to you by Jim Hayes.
I don't see an edit.
Sounded smooth to me.
Morning After.
I'm better.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Unbelievable.
You know, at the very least, when you make those edits, the music is on a different channel. You didn't have to cut out the music when you added this new guy's voice.
I understand Ryan Kelly's on hold, so I think we ought to just put Ryan on first and let him.
Sure, that makes
go
sense.
On first
sure.
Before Larry. Not that he doesn't want to hear what Larry has to say.
No. I can wait for the great Larry Nichols.
Wow.
I think that I'd be more than happy to sit here and listen to Larry on the other end of this phone and let Larry go in first. I'm sure he has a very, very busy schedule today. He's got a lot going on. Yep. Not sure how he's going to make it through all the things he has to do. Probably work another 14-hour day today.
Yep, thank you.
You know, I know how it is, so let's let Larry get on.
All right. What a gentleman Ryan Kelly is, Doug. Good morning, Larry.
Hello, Nixie.
Larry!
Perfect.
Larry! Ryan's waiting!
Yes.
There he is. Okay, he's here.
Where were you?
I was taking care of a little business.
Oh, no. What does that mean?
I can't say that because people need to take their business to a certain person who's on hold, and that's Ryan Kelly.
No, I respect the segue into a live read. Nobody does it better, trust me. But I still need to know what you were doing.
I had to use the boys room.
Okay.
And just to let everybody know, especially Ryan Kelly, that he is actually on as well. So just letting you know, I've never put on more than one person.
No.
So they're on the same pod. So if you do have
any
commentary.
They call this an MMM.
Ryan, if you do have any commentary, make it PG just for my sake.
Yeah, please. In case you just start MFing the show and can't believe you spend money on this thing, make sure that you don't use the actual.
Larry and I tried to do a segment together and that just didn't work out very well. I'm pretty hyper, a lot of energy. I keep moving. I start early. And Larry on the other side is more like my father, calm and collective, and thinks before he speaks, like my father used to always tell me, think before you speak. So when they put us together on the Morning After one morning, it was brutal. You have me going, hey, what's going on? And then Larry thinks about his answer. And
he does. He ponders.
I'm doing good, Ryan. And then, the show in dead for about 20 seconds. So we'll just let Larry finish up, but I'll be in the background. Larry, I enjoyed your live last night. Looks like you had a lot of guest appearances. That was pretty cool. And I'm going to be quiet and let you talk a little bit about wrestling now. How's that?
Nice.
Larry! Larry!
What, Doug?
Oh, I didn't think you were there.
Where did you go?
I was giving a few seconds to wrap up before I came back on the air.
But he had already wrapped up like 5 seconds before. Are you on a satellite feed?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, what is
we
this?
Lost somebody.
What was that?
You still there, Larry? Larry?
I am, Doug.
Okay.
My God. So you were in the Little Wizards room.
What in the hell? What's
the beeping?
I feel like it's 1991. I just got call waiting.
I think when we have two people on hold and Mike Lee calls, we hear his beeping.
Can we get Mike Lee on? Can we add Mike Lee to the mix?
See if it's my other line beeping, and it's not. I've done that five times.
It's us. So if somebody calls in while we're on the line with a caller, we're going to hear it like it's call waiting in 1990s.
If we have dualies, which we have currently.
What does that mean? Dualies?
Two on
like
the line.
Two on the line at the same time.
Right, I followed that.
We came across this issue that there will be a subtle beep, but we
subtle.
Can't.
Subtle. Yeah. It drowns out everything else.
But we'll put the person on hold.
See what happens when the cat's not there. It just starts falling apart.
Yep. You see that, Doug?
Well, I see.
You see that, Doug?
I see it.
Here on the fan page, and I know, Doug, you're not on it, but here's Larry talking. There's a picture of Eric Estrada
right over his head.
And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that's about. Larry, why was Eric Estrada joining you last night on your Facebook Live?
That was because of a certain person I don't know, Terry Miller. He likes giving me a hard time sometimes on Facebook Live.
God, here comes another call.
Sorry, guys, I have another call beeping in.
All right. All right.
This is like a college radio average.
This is not real. I love it.
Can you imagine if we got today we're going to have Joe Buck and Bob Cosin join us. We're going to have one at the same time. And the whole time people are calling, Mike Lee's calling and talking about Penny and Carla.
It's getting
and
fixed.
And it's beeping. Holy mother. Anyway, what does Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man have to do with an Eric Estrada picture of you in your Facebook Live? It still doesn't explain it.
That's how he is.
Okay. Is that answer?
Yes, yeah, just how he is. Well, it's actually the truth. Yeah, that's the truth.
Not Must more. Larry said it.
Yep. I agree. All right, I feel like I'm going nowhere with this line of questioning. Well, Larry, but mother of God,
he is again.
It's us because I just called.
Call. I might have to let you go. Keep speaking.
That was Iggy that time.
Iggy called and he's sabotaging the segment.
I just want to make sure it was us and it's us.
Okay.
What do you think Seamaster thinks when he sees Iggy pop up on the phone?
I'm going to be the bigger man and step to the side and let the Larry Nickel interview happen because I fear that if I don't, that I'll be getting all the hate mail soon. But I took Larry's fame today. So, Larry, I'm going to turn it over to you boys. I'm just going to remind everybody listening that this segment was brought to you by the HomeLoanExpert.com.
There it is.
Nice. Let me jump on, boys. Hey, Ben Fredrickson, Ben, you there?
Yes, sir.
I gotta tell you, you should have been a salesman. I don't know what you're doing, but see you on Facebook sometimes. Looks like you always have a pretty attractive woman next to you.
Wow.
In a good way.
I appreciate it.
You trying to cuck him, bro?
Don't say that.
Clip that off.
But my point is, if you look at all my loan officers, none of them are attractive. They're about as ugly as I am.
Uh-huh.
When you see their wives, you're always like, holy cow, how did that happen? Right?
Well.
I don't know why I thought about you there real quick.
Well, no, but, I appreciate it.
You seem to be with beautiful women. You should have been a salesman, maybe, if radio doesn't work out.
Well, I might be. So hang on to that. The journalism business is not exactly taking off, so you're great. A great backup for me.
You got any openings there, Ryan?
2 years of hardcore training to be a loan officer in my office. I don't know if
you'd be up for it.
Yeah.
It's tough, and you know that's actually something really good we're talking about for 30 seconds. We don't hire loan officers at my there's my other line again. Darn it!
Yeah.
We don't hire loan officers at my office. We train them, and I mean that. So like, people wonder, they're like, how come all the loan officers in the whole world hate you, Ryan? And I'm like, because I won't hire them. We hire kids usually a couple years out of college. So they've gone to Mizzou Business School. They've gone somewhere. Then they've gotten a real job, and somebody broke them of all their bad college habits and taught them the responsibilities of coming to work on time and doing all that. And then these people usually rise up to be the top of that industry, whatever they're working at. And then I go pluck them out, like Nick Gianetti, one of our loan officers, went to school, and then after that went to Ricoh, and he sold printers. Hmm. He was really, really good at selling printers. And then I take him out of printer land, and I make him a loan officer. And for 2 years, they have to go through some of the hardest training you can imagine. After 2 years, to be an LO. So, Ben, if you're ever up for that, a lot of pledging, a lot of hazing. It's very tough, 16-hour days, 2 years of that. You give me a call. I'll get you a spot. How's that?
I'll keep you in mind, sir.
Wow.
Journalism, either way. But there's an opening for you. Guys,
Doug, there
talk to you soon. Larry, I'm clearing the stage for you, clearing the runway, as they say. It's all yours. Guys, enjoy your day. Enjoy your week. I'll talk to you really soon. Thanks very much for letting me jump on, guys.
Thank you, Ryan. Larry, the runway is now yours.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Way to make a debut. Yeah, good entrance.
Larry, Bobby the Brain Heenan passes away at the age of 73 on Sunday afternoon. What are your favorite memories of the legendary WWE manager?
Being WWE Hall of Fame manager, him getting paintbrushed by another Hall of Famer, Andre the Giant.
Paintbrushed.
Back at WrestleMania 6 in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Ah, Doug, where were you when that happened?
Anywhere but in front of the TV watching it. And so he got paintbrushed.
Yeah, like slapped like three times.
Yeah, slap back and forth. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's what you do to a person if you're trying to beat him up.
How is this still happening? The beep's back.
Can I make a little funny comments before we dove into the last night?
Sure, go ahead.
You guys were talking about irons last night.
Doug, we talked about irons last night. Who has the best iron when we iron our clothes?
We did?
Yep.
Okay.
That's all I'm trying to get at, because if you hit iron with your fist, you might burn yourself.
What in the world did you just say? Say that again for us.
You were talking about irons as in golf clubs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Shaving okay. strokes.
Yeah.
If you hit iron with your fist, don't burn yourself.
You burn yourself. Well, I guess.
Iron, golf club, iron.
Right. I got it. Very nice.
This is like Dave Chappelle's on the line.
Very serious. Sophisticated humor. I'm sorry, Larry. You're just a step ahead of us all.
I don't mind. No.
It was a good one. We just don't get it because we're dullards. But it was a nice line. Okay.
Okay. Now we can get into last night.
Sure, we can. Okay.
God almighty.
Keeping mind of the schedule.
I think I'm out. He's coming in. He's El Capitan.
Okay, what happened?
Okay,
do we have a clip
from last night?
Doug, do we have a clip?
God, come on, Plowsy. Get it together.
We do.
There is a call waiting over the clip.
All right, go ahead and hit the lever, Plowsy.
Brock Lesnar does not prepare for anyone like Braun Strowman, because there is no one like Braun Strowman. And while Brock Lesnar doesn't respect any opponent, Brock Lesnar respects the fact that Braun Strowman is the most capable challenger to ever come after Brock Lesnar's Universal Championship. Last week, Braun Strowman stood up after a German suplex. No one has ever stood up from a momentary trip to Suplex City. But that doesn't mean that Braun Strowman can survive Suplex City.
Paul Heyman, I could do more than survive Suplex City. I'm gonna walk into Suplex City and stomp it to the ground.
What you're gonna do is you're gonna understand that all you've done is that you woke up the beast.
Larry, have you ever made a trip to Suplex City?
No, I have not. In
the top five countries.
After Brock Lesnar ended up with Paul Heyman, and he says three words: Suplex City, itch.
Itch. Okay.
I had to say that because
you left out a letter.
I said the whole word.
Right. FCC difficulties.
No, we actually can say that word. But Larry, that's a moral choice for you. If you feel like you'll go to HE double hockey sticks if you say the word, then I respect you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, Larry, I have a question. When you see like
I was going to talk about the main event last night.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's that?
Originally scheduled in a fatal four-way to determine the number one contender to the Intercontinental title.
Doug, who is the number one contender to the Intercontinental?
Luthez. Is he still wrestling?
No, he lived over here
in Glendale for a while. Yeah, he was a world champion.
But can I get back to here now?
Okay. Say that again for us.
You watch him now on the screen.
Okay, yeah, here it comes. Go ahead, Plowsy. Gosh, this is hard. Go ahead, hit the lever now, Plowsy. Hit the lever, Plowsy!
What am I hitting?
The lever!
I'm already...
He's asking for a clip!
We played the clip already.
He wants another one!
Having the time of his life.
There you go.
And then you got the call.
Gosh, this segment...
I was not asking about another clip. I was talking about. So I was going back to Lupe. I said, can we get back to here now? And then me talking.
All right. And what did Luthez do? Why'd you even bring him up?
Luthez is over.
Luthez hasn't wrestled in probably 40 years. He's been dead for.
You go up, though, not me.
Oh, okay. Then you go ahead.
Thank you. But Kurt Angle and his son, Jason Jordan, talked about making it a six-pack challenge to include the Miz, which is Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. And fatal four ways and measures of that magnitude. First person that's for the fatal submission wins the match.
Uh-huh.
And so happens to be Jason Jordan going on to meet the Miz for the Intercontinental title at the No Mercy pay-per-view this Sunday.
All right. And they have
which also has a more match besides the IFC title match. Which includes the Universal title match. It's the clip we just heard between Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman. And then there's a fatal four-way match for the women's title on Raw between Nia Jax, Emma, Sasha Banks, and the current reigning defending champion.
Got blocked out. Sounds like he's saying some cuss word that's getting bleeped out.
That don't make sense.
No, I'm not saying cuss word.
Okay. No, I wouldn't think he would.
But I don't cuss.
I don't. We're just having some difficulties.
But you were wearing a shirt last night that said "Bootios." Were you not?
Yes, I was, because they make sure you're not booty.
Doug? They make sure you're not booty? Is that what you just said to us?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
What does that mean?
They make sure you're not booty.
What does that mean? What does that mean exactly, Lair?
That's the slogan for the I was wearing last night.
God,
which,
so
by the way,
confused.
The New Day is on SmackDown, and they're the current reigning defending SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
I think callers are doing it on purpose now. They're just calling in.
Probably. It could just be Mike Lee.
I feel so bad for
I'm going to have the same feeling in about 10 years at Del Mar Gardens. I just don't understand the words that are being said to me. I can't remember anything.
Well, he was wearing a Bootio shirt. A Bootio shirt.
Okay.
And where can
Now they're expanding in the tagline on Bootios. They make sure you're not booty.
What time is dinner? Where's my slippers?
What
is
it, Doug?
When are we going to the movies?
Okay. Larry, what are the do you have the top five countries?
Yes, I do.
Now would be the time. Okay.
Liechtenstein.
Tiny Liechtenstein.
Yeah, is that smaller than Rhode Island?
I think so. You know, tiny little Liechtenstein. You know, by Germany and Switzerland.
Four.
Yeah.
Russia.
Russia's a big country. Yeah, large. Went from very small to very large.
Largest
country, I think, in terms of square miles.
Hello.
Yes. Okay, sorry. Just giving some background on the countries you're naming.
Number three, Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, small city. Not a huge
Number
city.
Number two, Israel.
Israel, now it's a country. Jerusalem, I think, is in Israel proper.
And number one, United States of America.
Yes!
All right.
Yes.
All right. Very nice segment, Larry.
Thank you.
Okay.
Larry, you're going to be at Hot Shots on Dorset, presented by Bud Select for TMA Live this Thursday evening.
Yes, I am.
Nice. Who's going to be driving you?
We got the details.
Excuse me?
In the next day or two.
Have to work out the details.
But doesn't the Ballsack family usually drive you, and then you invite them in for a nightcap and perhaps an MMF?
No, they take me home.
Well,
they don't drive me there.
Larry,
it's a difference. What's the difference in taking you home and driving you there?
I'm not necessarily throwing my hat in the ring, but I could potentially be picking you up.
Oh.
We could do a Facebook Live.
Right.
We could hang out and chill, you know.
Sure you could.
But taking you home.
Different story.
That's the Ballsacks.
I cannot do.
They go back to the peninsula. They
do go
take
back to
Larry
the peninsula.
On the way.
Yep. All right.
Now you can bring the ball sacks back to the patio if you want.
Oh,
it's a patio Thursday, isn't it?
Okay.
Wow. Iggy, you're really having a soiree after this.
Well, I'll have some people over.
Wow. Who has said they're going to be coming over?
I haven't really invited anybody. I just...
Ooh, so it just sounds like it's Larry and the ball sacks.
No, that won't happen.
Sunflowers still in bloom at your place?
No, they're dead as doornails.
Are they really?
How are the seeds?
What about those lesbians? Would they come over?
I have not. It's the end of the summer, and they're
lesbians usually go vacationing.
Well, they're softball coaches, so they're out quite a bit.
I feel like that's offensive.
No, they are.
That still might be offensive.
they told me their job, and they said we're gone almost all summer traveling with the softball team.
Sure,
Lindenwood Belleville, I think. I haven't really seen them.
They get their hair cut real short and nice length.
Yeah, that's not offensive.
But it's a question.
One's got really nice long blonde hair.
Really? Wow.
The answer to the other question, yes. The other two are short.
All right. Guys, I'm looking forward to the sound of Plowsy's modem dialing into AOL for the email of the day segment. Holy crap, this show. Thank you, Doug. It's a Wildwood Whisker.
I'll take a Prod Joe approach, and we're trying to fix this and to not allow it to happen again. I think we'll be
good. That's a Producer Joe approach.
Yeah.
Like if somebody tries to fix something, they pay tribute to a guy who hasn't worked on the show in 5 years.
I love Prod Joe. But we'll get it fixed before it goes, yeah, I promise.
That's the Jeff Fisher approach.
Tim, can the call waiting beep get a sponsor? Thanks, PGA Pro Dan is interested in buying the sponsorship of the call waiting beep. Larry, so it sounds like you will be there. It's Hot Shots Dorset Thursday night.
Yes.
Doug, there it is.
Right,
and then there's an after party at Iggy's.
With the family sack. The Swiss
family
sack.
Yes.
What's that, Larry?
Yeah, with the family sack.
Oh, okay. All right. I already heard that. Larry, God bless you and God bless America.
Yeah, God bless America.
All right, thank you,
Larry. There he is, Larry Nickel. What a call. Doug puts it in perspective. I wanted to spend some time on Bobby the Brain Heenan, and we got a...
We didn't get... Sometimes I'm just exhausted.
I'm pretty
that
sure
segment.
That was the best segment we've ever had.
I'm just worn out.
I wasn't wanted to troll him about when wrestlers die. Does he ever think it's fake because they fake die all the time?
Ooh, that would have been a sensitive.
But he just blew right past me. He wasn't having it.
Now he put on his Facebook page that he was taking no more requests for cities because he was upset about that, and he named three that people requested.
What a nice gesture.
Yeah.
Bobby Heenan was about the funniest guy they ever
I
had
loved
there.
Him.
He dressed up in that weasel costume. It was really funny.
Guys, Iggy, I'm sure your Maryland Heights apartment complex neighbors will be pumped to have the 74-year-old murderer having his radio friends over at 11 p.m. on a Thursday evening. Thanks. It's from Recaps.
You don't have to come, Timmy.
People will be outside.
You know, that wasn't directed to me. That's Timmy Recaps because I am invited, correct?
No, I wasn't talking about you.
No, right. Of course not.
TR. No, you're always invited, Tim.
But do you think it's going to be a problem if people are loud and outside and keeping people awake?
Well, I've got neighbors that sit there and smoke pot for 3 hours, so...
Shot at Plowsy.
Nobody's going to bother me.
Paul, are you planning on going over to Iggy's?
I'll be chilling at, Iggy's crib for probably about 30 minutes or so, depending on how it goes.
It's a very long-winded.
How could it possibly go?
That was a really... I'm sorry. let me redo. I will be attending, but me and the gal don't know how long we'll be staying because I do work in the morning, so I'll stop by for a little chit-chat, meet and greet.
Bringing your gal with you.
You can smoke on the patio.
Nice. All right, then I'm in.
Nice. Okay.
This sounds like this is going to be very hot on Thursday night. Very hot. Dougie, we ought to go together.
I don't know. Maybe I can go. I don't know.
Oh, nice. Doug's going to come over to your apartment.
I don't know. I don't think I have to work late. I'm not sure.
I've only got 8 chairs. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't go.
Reserve your spot now is what he's saying, Doug.
Well, I don't want to go and get arrested because there's all kinds of illicit drugs going on in the backyard.
I don't do drugs, so. But if Plowsy wants to smoke a joint on the patio, he's more than welcome.
No, but if Doug comes, I'll go to the Lumina and chill.
You can go around the corner and smoke.
Just go, wherever. I don't care, Plowsy.
The exchange between the Plowhawk and the Seamaster while the call waiting thing was going on is outstanding. Seamaster says, try locking in Larry while I have other lines blocked. Plowhawk, okay, he's locked. I have no idea why this is happening. Seamaster, didn't work. Plowhawk, it's so funny, though.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
That was one of my favorite segments. I will be podcasting like the Dickens when this show
ends.
You
going to go back and listen to that?
Why? No.
So funny.
It was a train wreck.
Doug, I knew my rent was going to be late about a week ago. I worked my ass off, but still can't pay it, though.
I got just enough to get up in this club and have a good time before my time is up. Thanks. That's a Swing Haven board member, so that's kind of a follow-up.
Oh, that's a good poem.
Don't you usually have to be like 6 months delinquent on your payment before they can throw you out?
Of the country club?
Oh, I don't know. I thought he was talking about his payment like at his apartment. No,
there are a lot of people
house.
Who are in country clubs who can't pay their rent.
Yeah, well, there's probably some, yeah.
Doug, what exactly do you say when you get home from the show and your wife says, how was work today? Thanks, Lord of my parents' basement.
No better. No better.
Derek Gould joins us, brought to you by GFI Digital. GFI provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI Digital make technology simple for your business. Start by visiting online at gfidigital.com. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very fine.
Oh, we're fine.
Thank you so much. We were discussing in the 7 o'clock hour really kind of a state of the Cardinals, and not necessarily 2017, but the organization as a whole, in which direction they will attempt to try and go in the offseason. Mm-hmm. What percentage would you allocate at this point following the debacle at Wrigley this weekend that the Cardinals make an appearance in the postseason?
Oh, wait, what percent?
Yeah, what probability? What percent? I like percent.
Probability,
I
would say 3 in 100.
Doug, that's 3%.
Three and a,
I was able to do the math. I was able to do the math.
3%.
No, yeah. I'm a journalism guy.
Maybe 3.5.
I can't do that.
3.5%.
No, let me type it in.
Well, I think that's how it'll work out.
And the wild card would be the more
like
direct route?
35 out of every 1,000 seasons you play.
That changes it.
Right.
I'm going to have to change it in my calculator.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do the math on some of that.
Right.
It's not easy.
Wild card more likely or Central because they play the Cubs 4 times?
I think neither is likely at all. Is that possible? I mean, you just look at, the Cubs, if the Cubs play losing baseball, the Cardinals have to go unbeaten to catch them.
Nice.
If the Rockies play losing baseball against losing teams, the Cardinals have to win 10 of 13 to catch them. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess the Rockies could crater, or the Rockies could crumble. Is that the phrase? The Rockies could crumble, Gibraltar could fall, and the Cardinals could get in, but I don't know. You know, I don't see how that's possible. Even if, I mean, I guess if the Rockies only win one game of every series, then the Cardinals sweep here and it makes it interesting. But the division's going to be really hard because, I mean, it just from a pure mathematical standpoint, the Cubs play the Brewers. So one of those teams is going to maintain distance on the Cardinals. They almost want it to be the Cubs because you have to be perfect to catch them. So let them run away with it, knock the Brewers behind the Cardinals, and then go after the wild card. So there's your answer.
Well, the Cubs are showing signs of running away with it. They've been pretty good the second half of the season. Has it been their pitching just got better, or what's happened to have woken them up?
Their hitters are hitting. The hitters who they pay a lot of money or expect a lot from or have been MVPs in the past are hitting. And that's covering up for some of their other flaws, sort of like what we talked about the Cardinals didn't have in the first half, right? Yeah. You know, they didn't have the hitting, so their flaws were kind of exposed. And, the Cubs have been able to kind of hit past some of their problems here recently. They don't have the pitching depth. Especially without Arrieta, who was a big part of why they were so good in the second half, Doug, is because, you know, he was pitching great before his injury. So you had those two things, Arrieta, hitters being hitters, and that's helped the Cubs kind of mask other things.
When you look at the, you go to
Fred.
How's it going, Derek? You go into the series in Chicago, and you have everything's on the line there, and you get swept. It was kind of a weird thing because I don't know that it was shocking because they've struggled so much against the division, but some of the style of play was you had the some more defensive mistakes. The runners in scoring position was really, really bad. What surprised you the most? What surprised you, or what would you think the biggest reason they just weren't able to get any sort of ground there at Wrigley?
The 2 days that they had the pitching edge, they lost it with their defensive play. And the one day that they did not have the pitching edge, Kyle Hendricks showed why they didn't have the pitching edge. Those three things. You know, I mean, the big hits, you know, I mean, I get it. You can't always count on those. And the Cubs got them. But you can't count on them. You have to play sort of like Sunday's game was an interesting one because, you know, Tommy Pham made a good point. They played a good baseball game, and they did, with the exception of just a few little wrinkles. But they overcame each of them. Dexter Fowler with the big hit, as you were, the three-run homer. That overcame a lot of the things that they had done earlier and gave them a clean slate. And then it was just Jason Hayward lifting a ball that we've seen Jason Hayward ground out on 412 times. But this time he didn't. This time he got the base hit that won the game, and that's what happens. You know, Major League Baseball players at some point in time inevitably perform. Even when they have four threes littered throughout their season, they're going to perform, and that's when Jason did. You know, so he kind of won the game. But I think some of the other things, like Martinez's defensive play, you know, Hendricks is really good, but the Cardinals didn't do a lot to test him. I mean, those kind of things, they just gave away edges. And the Cubs are good enough to play like that and have their talent carry them. The Cardinals are not. And that's the biggest gap between these two teams, is the Cubs can play loose and win. The Cardinals can't play loose and contend.
At what point are you what's the level of concern, I guess, is the best way to ask it, about Carlos Martinez's ability to field balls hit back at him? Because at some point you start to wonder, is this starting to become more of a mental thing than it is a physical thing? I mean, he's a great athlete. You know, he's former infielder. What's going on there?
Yeah. So we had this discussion in the press box, and somebody's likened Carlos Martinez to the Cubs' John Lackey and his inability to throw to first base.
Lester.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Yep. Yeah. Not. Yeah. Lackey. Oh gosh, man. Lackey's already looking for me in Cincinnati.
Right. You don't want to get the wrong side of him.
I better not look around a corner. He's angry. Thank you. Thank you for the back check there. Mm-hmm. Lester. Lester. So his ability to throw to first base, or inability to throw to first base, and the suggestion was made that if those two guys just pitched against each other, that the team should just bunt and see what happens. And I made the point that if a team went up there and bunted seven times in a row or whatever, seven times in a game against Carlos Martinez, his problems would fix real quick. He is just a guy who needs that play that he doesn't think about and then makes. And then everything will be right. We have seen him make tremendous defensive plays. I'm sure you guys can think of some off the top of your head. It's when he has had times here where he's had to think or prepare or turn that he's just flubbed it. And it is very unlike him. He's very athletic. He's got he has an interest in fielding, which can't be said about a whole lot of pitchers. You know, Mike Leake has an interest in fielding and probably – I mean, he should have been in the conversation for a Gold Glove, I guess because of the trade he won't be, but in the National League, you could have made an argument that he was one of the best defensive, if not the best defensive pitchers in the game. He had a lot of practice because of all the balls in play, but he was very good at it. Carlos should be that level and just probably needs that play to snap him out of the funk, just like a hitter needs to run into one to stop, you know, chewing on himself like we see Brandon Moss do a lot, you know, a few years ago.
The first Martinez throw over the catcher's head and then the second one over the head of the whoever was covering second base, it's because he just didn't throw the ball. He just babied it, and that's not it's not a natural throwing motion. You lose your control. You don't know where it's going. Not so much the case in Chicago where he kind of threw off balance.
Well, in both of those cases, he slowed himself down, right? Like he kind of, like you tried to say, like he placed the pitch, I guess, or he just paused. In all three examples, you can see him almost like go, wait, am I doing the right thing? Oh, now I got to do it real quick. And it's that pause that leads to really some unnatural kind of motions, whether it's not being able to pick the ground ball cleanly or whether it's the throw, like you said.
You'd think that would be something easy to fix, wouldn't you? Just to drill it through his head, you're going to throw the ball hard. You're not going to pause. Just throw it like it's a close play.
I don't think you drill it at all. I think you just need one play in a game for him not to think, and it's all better. Like, I don't think this is something that PFT or pregame ground balls fixes. I think it's actually something that those things maybe even make worse. He just needs a play in the game or two plays in the game where he makes it and goes, oh, right, okay, now we're good.
Yeah, hopefully. What kind of team you think we'll see take the field tonight? One that still plays like they got a chance, or one that looks a little bit demoralized?
It's a great question. I think they'll probably feed off of what Flaherty brings. His and how he pitches will definitely have a say, or definitely give a really good feel for where they're at, just the vibe-wise, right? If he pitches well, then they'll fall in line. If he has some laborious innings, then I could...
I think we lost him.
I don't think so.
Is it me?
No, we did. I can, because usually one time per call, Derek disappears for about 5 seconds, and then he pops back up.
No, I think we lost him. I think John Lackey got to him.
Well, we can let him go. It's not a big deal. Derek Gould brought to you by GFI Digital. GFI provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI Digital make technology simple for your business. Start by visiting online at gfidigital.com. This kind of gets us into where I wanted to take the show anyway, which is...
Okay, I just saw Ben Boyd running away with a pair of
tits. No, him and Raby?
Raby was driving. Right.
I knew it.
This is what they do.
Boyd jumped in the car while it didn't even stop, really, just still rolling.
Yeah. The Barstool... Doug...
The Barstool chicks. We're going to interrupt Derek Gould to get to the Barstool chicks. Perfect.
No. On a cuck situation at the Emmys. Did you see the cuck?
Oh, I did.
I didn't.
So you thought so. Take a listen. Doug, you'll get some background.
All right, hit the lever plow.
You want the dude or the chick?
We don't care. Just hit any lever there.
Emmys 2017, Alexander Skarsgård absolutely cuckolds Keith Urban, kissing his wife, Nicole Kidman, right on the lips, directly in front of his face. That was the single most disrespectful thing I've ever seen in my life, and I've watched quite a bit of cuckold porn, my friend. I mean, this guy spent all season long smashing your wife on Big Little Lies. And it wasn't just regular sex scenes. It was some hardcore in there. It was Alexander Skarsgård's giant. I don't know whether that was real or fake, but that in Big Little Lies was an absolute hammer. And he was smacking her around and roughing her up. I mean, we were doing some really kinky. He's chiseled from stone. Women look at him, and their basements are absolutely flooded. That guy comes up to your wife and kisses her right on the lips in front of you, and you do nothing but continue to clap it up for his Emmy win. And the worst part of all was it was Nicole Kidman doing the kissing. She was the one. Grabbed his face and guided it right in. Skarsgård had no choice but to go for the lips. Down below, you got one hand, the other hand, okay. The double hip grab with the double face grab and the kiss on the lips. All in front of that woman's husband? Keith Urban, you need to stand up for yourself one time. Have a backbone one time. Stop worrying about your eyeliner and your flat iron hair, because I don't know what's going on there, but you're starting to look like the Scarecrow, pal. For the sake of your masculinity, for the sake of your pride, at least try to stop Alexander Skarsgård from your wife.
Who was that?
Plowboy, who was that? What was going on there?
Barstool, dude.
Oh, Lord. We're just any random website, somebody says something, and we feel that's news.
Correct.
Well, fortunately, we have the response from the Barstool chicks.
Okay.
I'm interested to hear their thoughts. I'm
afraid of that.
Last night at the Emmys, Alexander Skarsgård won an award, and when he went up to receive his award, he fully embraced Nicole Kidman, and they kissed on the lips in front of Keith Urban, who is Nicole Kidman's husband.
I really didn't think it was that weird. They played co-stars like they were each other's love interest.
I'm sorry, that doesn't fly. You cannot kiss another man's wife. No,
they did so much more on camera.
But that's on camera. No. Once they get off camera, the kissing stops. Keith Urban is the definition of a beta at that point.
They kissed on the lips. I don't think adults like kissing on the lips is that weird when it's just like a peck.
Keith Urban's reaction was like...
Well, he's like a little bit of a...
He's a little bit.
bitch! In that moment, Keith Urban needed to become a man and say, Alexander Skarsgård, step away from my wife. He didn't do that there. That's why Keith Urban came out looking like a little beta, and Nicole Kidman clearly wears the pants in the family.
Great takes. Do they keep saying beta? Like, is it beta, theta,
alpha,
pi?
An alpha male is the dominant male, and beta would be
The bottom?
Yeah.
Weren't the takes the same?
Yeah, Rhea kind of took over that video, which is super disappointing, seeing as I'm a Fran guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of the Fran Rat Pack.
Are you Team Fran or Team Rhea?
I'm trying to figure out who Alexander Skarsgård is.
He was in True Blood on HBO. Okay.
I didn't realize when I saw the kiss. I saw the kiss and thought, interesting, but then I moved on. I didn't realize they were on the show together with a love interest, and it was so... Mm. Passionate and volatile. So that made me, that's a little backstory that I didn't know. I did some research. Actually, I had watched that video last night.
Good for you. Do show
and,
prep.
And yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they, you know, Hollywood's different, man.
Yeah,
it's different
all the
out,
time
it's different
like
out there.
So, Doug, do you feel like Keith Urban was out of line?
Sitting there? He's simply a beta.
Right, but the criticism from Rhea and Fran and KFC was that...
Step up.
Right.
Well, what's he supposed to do? Walk
step
up and punch,
up.
Punch
he's
the guy?
He's supposed to step up!
And they do all the time. And I love it.
Okay. I see a lot of kids now, the high school age, college age, when they see a girl or something, they don't just say, hi, how you doing? They walk up and hug each other. People didn't do that in my day. I mean, it's fine.
Do you think that's because of lesbianic play?
I don't think it has anything to do with lesbianic play. I think people are just more comfortable doing that today than they were a generation ago.
So you think in Hollywood, which is always one step ahead, that's morphed into just mouth kissing and waist grabbing in front of each other's wives and husbands.
If they're doing a TV show where they're doing this kind of thing all the time, then it probably came pretty comfortable.
Did the positioning of her hand affect you, though? Because she grabbed him on both sides of the face. Right beneath the ears.
Doesn't bother me in the least these people are doing.
She had him by the jowls. That doesn't bother you?
No, it doesn't.
All right.
She has romantic.
Kind of sounds like a beta move,
she
bro.
She has also sexy modes.
I see the picture now.
Are you offended?
I'm not offended. Here she is kissing her husband, the beta, a little bit later. Got an Emmy, too.
How is she kissing him?
Yeah.
Well, she's kind of backing away.
Oh, like the more popular MMF.
I don't know that that's the case at all there.
Naked bodies.
Okay.
I can't tell if they're being serious or just wanted to get a hot take.
Shot at the entire business.
I mean, people, they all do things for show, right? That's what they are. They're actors. They're acting like, oh, my God, I love you so much. We won this award together. I love you so much. You're just the greatest soul of mine. Let's pat each other on the back and give each other awards and just let the world know that we're just fabulous.
Coach Vance Joseph from here. Mm-hmm. You watch him now on the screen.
Now, I guarantee you, if they would have just walked by and high-fived each other, people would have said, oh, they just did all these scenes together, now they're high-fiving. That's just stupid.
Clearly, Iggy, what would have been appropriate? She walks up, quick peck on the cheek, an embrace, and then go.
A hug.
Doug, that's what would have... But instead now, people are saying Keith Urban was cucked right there on national television. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a cuck. But a hug would have been better.
Jerry Lewis used to kiss other men on the stage. Remember some of those scenes?
Richard Dawson?
Well, yeah.
Is he the one who sang Great Balls of Fire?
Was that his song? No, you know Jerry Lewis. Ah, lady! That guy.
No.
He'd have the telethon, and guys with other Hollywood stars, and he'd be kissing the men on the lips.
That's not considered cuckold in my eyes.
Well, it might not have been a cuckold.
Have you ever been,
it was a little uncomfortable.
Have you ever been kissed on the lips by a man, Doug?
No. No, I haven't.
Walter Payton didn't try to take it there during the dance?
With this beard I got, and you could feel my whiskers brush up against you before we got
tickle, tickle, tickle.
Thank you, Ben.
That would have been an early cuck situation.
No, we don't need that.
Doug, if you think there is only one generation between you and college kids, you are more delusional than I thought, you haggard queen. That's from Jorge, the tugboat captain.
Well, I got a kid in college. That's one generation.
Yeah, that's right.
How many generations do you think there are between me and my kids? Three or four? It's the stupidest damn text I've ever heard. You're going to be, when your kid is in college, what, close to 60 yourself?
I would be 58.
Freshman year.
That's right.
62 by the sophomore year. Ha! See what I did there?
I did. That was good.
taking a shot at Tim's newborn intelligence.
4 week old.
Nothing's off.
We had an agreement on we're going to leave. The only people we're going to violate it are my co-hosts. A little cute Doug cucked me this weekend at the Eagles Chiefs. You were at the Eagles Chiefs game?
I wasn't.
It was uber hot for my girl. She loved it, boo. That's from Lindenwood Recreator.
The Eagles Chiefs game.
You've been getting back in on the NFL. You're going across town there, huh?
You know, that sounds like a fun thing to do. I know a few people that have done that and say they have a good time. I can't get
into that.
You're
talking about going to the game.
I have no interest in that.
You're talking about going to the game or stealing someone's
boyfriend.
Going to the
game. Not interested in the boyfriend of the Eagles.
Just clarifying.
Just doing the tailgate thing in Kansas City and watching the Chiefs game. I have no interest in that. I don't.
Does anybody watch that Liars thing on HBO? Pretty Little Liars, is it?
Big Little Liars. Big Little Lies, maybe, is what it's called?
No. Has anybody seen it?
No.
Does she get naked at all?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Reese Witherspoon's in there. Laura Dern. And, of course, Nicole Kidman. Am I missing anybody else? Dana Plato? Who am I missing?
What, is she out of jail?
She's dead.
They sprung her?
Skarsgård's in there.
Doug?
Skarsgård, I understand.
I'm just curious if she got... She had a nice button, eyes wide shut.
Skarsgård?
I typed in Nicole Bad Kidman. Little on the first search with boys.
Hook yourself off.
That was funny.
So somebody on that computer has typed in Bad Little Boys in a search? I mean, it's a search history thing.
It is.
The show's only been here for 2 weeks.
So some board op sits down and goes, great, this is my chance.
Oh, here's Nicole Kidman almost refusing to kiss Keith Urban. Oh, we may have trouble in Hollywood.
Why don't me, you, and Fran and Rhea do a segment?
Well, no, I'm not interested in that. I just think we may have some trouble in Hollywood, and boy, that should concern us all.
But if it say there is trouble.
Who's they?
Say there is.
Oh,
I'm speculating.
Say there is. All right.
What a power move by Nicole Kidman to plant a mouth kiss on Skarsgård if there's some trouble in the relationship.
Wow.
Think about it. They're in a fight on the way to the Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
They're just back and forth. She's giving him the cold shoulder. And then she just plants a wet one on this guy.
Plants a wet one.
In front of the whole world. That's a power move.
I imagine that's happened often in Hollywood. Whew. Where somebody goes off and they have a love scene to do with another co-star. And then they fall for him. And then it splits Veil back home. I bet that's
Brad Pitt,
happened probably
Angelina Jolie.
Many times.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. That was the end of him and Aniston.
Was it?
2003? Is that 2003 Cubs and
the year
Marlins?
Is really irrelevant to this.
Doug, if you watch the way he banged her in that stupid show that all these broads watch, that kiss is alarming. Thanks, Steve Wildwood.
Well, I didn't watch the show. I don't know what happened. But I wouldn't be surprised that an actor and an actress who were making love on stage could fall for each other off.
Well, I got to watch it because if they do all the banging and don't get naked, then that's just a terrible tease.
Huh.
They say Nicole Kidman does get fapless.
Okay. Yeah, she has no boobs.
Okay, easy.
Shailene Woodley also. Good show. Some neckers for Iggy. Dirty Richard. Good nudes in Big Little Lies, Iggy. It's the Gardner Lemming. A lot of our listeners getting really involved in the segment.
Are they?
Then I'll watch.
Doug, yeah. Millennials are Gen Y, born 1977 to 1995. Generation X, born 1965 to 1976, baby boomers, born 1946 to 1964. Two generations, Doug. Lick me, Jorge, the tugboat captain.
That's suspension worthy. Jorge, the tugboat captain, you got suspended. You got suspended a period of 2 days' time.
So I'm Gen X, barely.
Yeah, I can't be a millennial. 40 years old, 41 in 2 weeks.
No, I wouldn't.
Or a week. Nurse? Nancy?
And these dates are just
You
arbitrary.
Better stop that because I've called people out for this.
What's that?
Continually telling people when your birthday is.
Why? What's...
Whoa.
What do you mean?
Well, then I do that on Facebook. We were doing the whole Facebook thing last week.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing that I had a pet peeve is the people that continue to... Birthday in 6 days, birthday in 5 days, yeah, birthday in 4 days.
I know what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying. If anything, I'm like, I'm 41. That year went quick. And then Doug is going to say, it goes really quick.
Mm-hmm.
So
it goes fast forward at some point. Right. It's just kind of, you hit the double arrows.
Because
arrows.
Most of my peers matured in their late 20s or early 30s, and I have arrested development. So now I have a newborn, except I'm essentially 41 years old. And so
you're
so
you feel like you're two generations.
Two generations.
From
I probably
chart.
Am. See, I no, would say not. I am. You would no. say no.
No, you're not. It's one generation.
You know I was kidding, so I would never call you up.
Of course not.
I almost fell out of my chair.
Ew, Doug, don't say making love. That's from Mrs. Dotum.
There is no Mrs. Dotem. I've met Mr. Dotem. It would be strictly a beard situation.
You met her.
Doug, Maggie Gyllenhaal has disappointing boobs. Not good. It's from Beer Cats.
That's right. That's right.
She doesn't shave either.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't affect me, but I'm concerned for like the 20-something gentlemen that they're dealing with shrubs like we did in the early 1990s.
They're coming back.
Because you're so
bit.
Excited, especially it's like your first time. You're like, oh, this is great. And you're like, oh, what in the hell is this I got to get through?
Okay.
Oh. So I was really happy in the late 90s where the landing strip became popular, and then the early 2000s where everybody's just clean shaven. And now, and I think it's Keisha Gray who did it. And then they're so proud of their bushes.
Yeah. They're coming back, and I don't, we saw.
But I don't know. Now I had a couple guys that are in their 20s said, no, they got rid of it. It was a brief thing, like the hula hoop. You know?
The hula hoop was around for years, Tim. For years.
Doug, I'm 41 and a half, Tim. Let's celebrate in front of Iggy?
What kind of nonsense is that?
I never watched two men make out. I don't want to start.
That never happened at Hedonism?
No.
Apparently it used to happen at the Emmys.
A guy tried to pick me up once in the hot tub, and I got really upset.
Was that Mr. Jefferson?
Who did that? Sherman
Some
Hilsley?
Dude.
Was that in Jamaica?
Yeah, in the hot tub at Hedo.
Sherman Hilsley? Put the moves on.
No, some
what
you, dude.
What was his line?
There was no line. He just
happen?
Started making conversation. Well, if
he
never
starts talking
to
you?
Yeah, the Hedo is a huge hot tub with like four corners where there's steps.
That sounds and awesome.
Isn't that where Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, and
four corners? Yeah,
yeah, it's like four countries touching.
Utah?
Giant tub
it's
of
not the
bacteria.
Only thing that's touching.
But I'm sitting there by myself. Because I got down there early after dinner, and I said, I'm just going to go down there. I'll meet you guys down there.
Well, that made sense.
And some dude came and just, like, the whole hot tub.
Yeah.
He sat, like, 3 feet.
That's uncomfortable.
Next to me.
Mm. Yeah, move over.
Yeah, I'm not going to say get out of here. Somebody started making conversation. Have you been here before? And it wasn't like, I didn't think he was gay.
No, he had no idea. Wandering hand.
But he just started asking me questions about the resort, and I said, yeah, it's a great place, and we start talking. And then the hand comes to the thigh.
Oh, whose thigh? Your thigh?
My thigh, yes.
No,
and I said, dude, I'm not gay, and I would be careful because...
So he put his hand on your
thigh?
Yeah.
Wow. And I said, dude...
Was
I
he
said,
there with a girlfriend or
he
wife?
He was there by himself.
Well,
did you say fresh and slap him? Did you say that to him?
I told him, I said, look, I'm not... going to say anything because
no.
I'm just going to the other side of the hot tub.
She's
but I'd be careful because Jamaican people don't like gay people.
Really?
Yeah. They
But there really aren't Jamaicans inside the resort, right?
There are.
Really?
People that work there. And
okay. Well, that's my point, though.
But
they're
Jamaican
not the ones
people
interacting
do,
with in the MMFs and MFFs and the like.
Not a lot of them, but believe it or not, Jamaicans do get like nighttime passes to come hang out at the resort.
Yeah.
And you will see some Jamaicans in the hot tub. And
yeah, there's some there.
Yeah, they don't like gay people.
No, I wouldn't think so.
So what happens when lesbianism breaks out?
They're okay with the girls.
That's
they don't like the guy.
Bias.
They don't like the guy stuff.
It's not fair.
Standard. So is your boyfriend down there upset that you nixed his advances?
Yeah, how'd you handle that? Was it awkward after?
I told him that. I said, you know, dude, I'm not gay, and just to be honest, you may want to be careful with that stuff down here. They don't like it. And
sure.
I went to the other side of the hot tub.
Yeah, you just
did you keep
more.
Talking?
You get up and leave at that point.
No, he stayed. I just went to the other
right
side of the
there.
Hot tub.
Wow.
And I didn't say anything when my friends came down. Oh, that guy's gay. Yeah,
no.
Let it go. I don't care.
Go. Yeah, let it go.
Why you thought I was gay.
No.
Of course,
Iggy,
I was there by myself, so yeah.
Iggy, you can't fault a man for wanting a nice little taste of bacon. Thanks. That's from the River to Pair yacht captain.
That
great.
Shouldn't have been said.
Now Iggy is making up stories about banging random dudes. Your lies and no boundaries. You walking catcher's mitt. That's from Doug Vaughn's East Side Lover. Illicit East Side Lover. I apologize.
Yeah, I came in today and I said, you know what? I'm going to lie about some gay guy picking me up. That ought to get him.
Hot. How'd that evening go for you, though? A young lady come down later?
Good question.
I don't know.
You don't remember?
Wow.
My friends came down, but I...
Somebody just posted on the fan page a montage of Mike Francesa filling sodas.
Yes.
Filling sodas. I'm going to watch this. And he's yelling about Andy Pettit being a starting pitcher. I mean, maybe that's the move. You know, we laugh at it, but I guess there's a market for it. Like, you just yell about sports stuff. Like, I guess I could bitch about Eli Manning's time management, you know, under center and delay
sure.
a game, and I could get really worked up. I don't care.
Maybe some of that flies in New York where everybody's kind of on edge anyway. Everybody's a little quicker to get
I mean,
angry.
You have, what, like seven teams? They don't really cover college there, do they?
I don't think they have much of a college.
Only Penn State when they're running it up on.
Yeah, apparently Penn State, Georgia State's an annual topic. But other than that,
St. John's basketball would probably be the closest.
No, remember they tried to...
Lou Cornaseca.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love his sweater.
Remember they tried to talk college basketball and he thought Maryland was still in the ACC? And wanted to see how many times them and Florida State played this year, not knowing they're not even in the same conference.
It just doesn't matter. Maybe that's the move. I don't know. I'll just do a show where I bitch about sports topics and then just text people. And I guess you make, what, $5 million a year to do that?
Apparently, that's what he's doing, you know. And his co-host, he had a co-host who got arrested for something. What was he doing?
The Mad Dog. Mad Dog didn't get arrested.
No,
he still yells
guy, Canton.
What? Oh, Chris Carton. That was Boomer
Esiason. That was close enough. That was close enough to the name.
Same.
Oh, that was Boomer Esiason's partner.
Right.
Oh, the same station.
Right. Morning Drive, baby. Morning Drive.
They said he got arrested for, a concert ticket fraud.
Portraying investors that he had access to tickets and then taking $5 to $6 million.
But then I heard that he was just doing it.
Is the allegation. He is denying the allegation.
He was just allegedly doing it to cover up his gambling debt. Which, I did read that. Sounds like there was a good purpose behind it.
Sure, that makes it okay.
Sure, yeah, he had a reason.
Makes it okay.
Doug, I'm late for a break. I'm sorry that I am. Send your emails in. Hot Chats email today. It's Ryan Kelly Morning.